And we're back here with Talk of the Town. Our number is 395-1450. We're going to talk to a guest here, and two guests, as a matter of fact. We have Sarah Leland with us, who is a many-time guest. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Duke.
And with Sarah is Audrey Ann Hill. Good morning, Audrey Ann.
Good morning.
And she is a teacher. Was a teacher.
Was a teacher.
Once a teacher, always
a teacher.
Right.
And has just
right.
published her first book.
All right.
Which is why
I'll move
she's
right
here.
Into that microphone there, Audrey Ann.
Okay.
And her first book is called Graduation. She has graduated.
Yes, evidently. She's sitting in the stadium in the picture on the cover. And the subtitle is Making a Life After Teaching. Making a Life After Teaching. So she let go of teaching and is making a new life at this point.
Yes.
Adrienne.
Well, what kind of life is it?
More than I expected.
Really?
But it's a little more relaxed, a little more laid back. No longer getting up at 4:30 in the morning to
yeah.
shovel snow like I could see myself doing today to
yeah.
get out on the road to drive north by 6 o'clock.
So you taught in Grand Haven.
Grand Haven High School.
Mm-hmm. And what did you teach?
I taught, first I started teaching at ninth grade, and so I taught just the ninth grade curriculum. By the time I finished, I was teaching American Lit, Humanities, and College English. So I had sophomores and juniors and seniors.
You had a lot of preparation.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
You read aloud to your students at times.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what age they are. They love being read aloud to.
Isn't that, I taught English mm-hmm. in high school so long ago, you don't want to know. It never occurred to me to read aloud yeah. except for poetry. I would always read poetry aloud
yeah.
if we were yeah. studying a poet.
Well, when it came to novels, I would change voices. So, uh-huh. for instance, when it was my all-time favorite, To Kill a Mockingbird, I'd talk a little slower and bring on the southern drawl. And then when it was Of Mice and Men, you had to have Lenny talk a little different so that you knew that he had some issues.
And what about Nathaniel Hawthorne?
Well, we won't go there.
So I wrote down a few questions, and one of them is, what motivated you to write this memoir in your first year after teaching? You haven't yet touched 80, Audrey.
I have not touched 80. I'm a young retiree. I would occasionally send out, about 4 or 5 years ago, I started sending out seasonal letters. And I would describe what was going on in the day or the season and what I was doing. And so this book, in a way, is sort of Jack Riddle's fault, because Jack kept saying to me, "Why?"
And Jack Riddle is
a good friend of mine. He's a poet, and he taught at Hope College.
Okay.
And he said to me, "Why aren't you writing? This needs to that you need to write. You need to do some more writing." So I blame Jack.
It was nice to have a figure in that.
Yeah.
But you must have had the urge to write yourself.
Oh, yeah. And when I first went to college, I wanted to be, I was born in 1961, and I realized Ernest Hemingway, unfortunately, committed suicide in 61. So I figured maybe I was a reincarnation.
Yes.
Until I realized he committed suicide after I was born. But I always thought, I could be that first female Ernest Hemingway and write the great American novel. I know, big goals. And then I realized, not so much.
Well, I urge you to revisit that idea, because I love here and I love Audrey's book, mm-hmm. because of just the almost excitement that comes through in the stories that you tell month to month of that year after teaching.
Well, and that's how teachers sort of live. We don't live... we live month to month. For instance, September is always the beginning of the school year, and towards the end it's homecoming and the MEEP, and then in October it's the next, what are you going to be teaching? Well, in October I always taught, first it was the Crucible, then it was Transcendentalism, and so we would teach by months in our head it was what we were doing by the month, so that's how I framed the book month by month.
Well, it's very helpful to a reader who's watching you through that year of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to say anything about points that you made in that first, in your introduction. You talked about why you left teaching, for one thing, and you were obviously a superb teacher.
Oh, thanks. I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. In the last 6 years of teaching, I had to rewrite or remap our curriculum 4 times to get it to fit and have the language that the state kept requiring. And without them even seeing if the first time, if it worked the first time, then it was, you know, we'd come in and we'd have another meeting about we need to redo this. And it got really frustrating to have to continue to defend what you're doing. And as I said in the introduction, there was one point in my life where I was like, I'm a teacher, and I loved saying it. And then there were other times where, towards the end of the year, I'd go, I'm a teacher, and not knowing how I was going to be received by saying it. So I sort of said it under my breath.
So you wrote this book as a result of all the adventures you had while being a teacher.
Interspersed with this first year of retiring, where I started, right when I left, I would have things marked off, but like I said, I kept everything sort of hidden from the students. Posters were still on the wall till the last exam was taken. They knew I was retiring, but I didn't want to give them. I didn't want to, and I wasn't rushing to get out the door, even though I needed to get out the door, because the very next day I had to go north for a week-long family reunion. And so there was that kind of thing going on in the background. But I wanted them to know that I was here to teach. In fact, one of the things I found really strange were people coming up to me when they knew I was retiring, are you counting the days? And I'd say, no, I'm too busy teaching. You don't count days, right. You know? So.
Right. Teaching is like Duke's radio show. It's interactive.
Right.
And it has a focus. And if you're a people person, and you are, you mm-hmm. knew and loved those students, it brings you alive to do it. And so you're not just waiting for the day to pass.
No. And the day sometimes would go by so quickly, and all of a sudden it'd be the end of the day.
I'd like to go, and Juke, at any point, people who have a question for Audrianne can call in, right? You want to give the call-in number?
395-1450.
Okay. I love the short lines that are on the back cover of mm-hmm. your book, and that's probably why they're there. Audrianne is a poet as well as a nonfiction writer, and this is a short line. You say, Columbus was wrong. Columbus thought the world was round and he could sail around it. Columbus was wrong. The world is flat and has edges sharp and abrupt, or at least that's how it can feel when who we are is about to change.
Mm-hmm.
The first step can take our breath, but at that moment of change, we leap anyway.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, I wrote that poem for, I wrote it in 2001. I wrote it for some of my, for my seniors. And because I've had students who've actually self-sabotaged their senior year for fear of graduating because of that what to know. And not too many, but I've had a few. And so I wrote that poem for them. And little did I know, it came back to haunt me because it speaks to my career as well.
That's an interesting connection, and it says more to me about why you named this book Graduation.
Mm-hmm.
I think teachers are a great thing in our lives, because I remember two teachers that I had that I'd like to talk to them again today if I had a chance.
Do you remember who they are, Chuck?
Oh, definitely.
Tell us.
A teacher named Helen Mary Beatty in Dowagiac High School. I had her for 3 classes, speech, government, and economics.
Ah.
She had a lot of preparations, too.
Yeah.
And she also took care of the dramatics in school.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah. I had great teachers.
Yeah. Just in Holland High, teachers. I had Joan Vanderwerf. That was her name then. Became Reeve later. And I did have the honor of having lunch with her many years later.
You wrote about this in your book, didn't you, Jim?
Yes, I think I did.
This is the love. I love memoirs that are local.
Mm-hmm.
I read, you know, the stories of what are called the great people out there. But my special love is for local memoirs.
Yeah.
There's a new one out of the Tulip Farm family. I see in the Sentinel.
Yes,
and I was just delighted to put it on my list.
Yes.
And everybody out there, you can put Graduation on your list after hearing Audrey Ann. I love also the fact, and originally I had put a mark in here, of the people that you quoted. It was one quote from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross that just really struck me. I think it's on page 4. You say, she wrote, "How do the geese know when to fly to the sun? Who tells them the seasons? How do we humans know when it is time to move on? As with the migrant birds, so with us, there is a voice within, if we would listen to it, that tells us certainly when to go into the unknown." That, you know, we can all
relate to that.
Huh?
Did you feel that way when you retired? Did you feel like you were going into the unknown?
Oh, yeah. Because, I was too young to really retire.
Yeah.
I'll be 53 this March. And more importantly, I'm single. I've never been married. So I have the support system is basically, you know, friends, family type thing, but no intimate that you can have those conversations with and go, "Oh, honey, it'll be okay," you know. And so that can be a scary thing. And so that's why when I first, one of the first little gigs I did was I was a docent at Windmill Island for 8 weeks towards the end, and which I write about in the book. And that was an interesting thing, and I still found myself teaching, because when you get to the second floor of the windmill, which is where they would pack up the grain, I would always throw in the little story of the actual crucible, how they thought that's why the girls were actually hallucinating, because of spoiled wheat, you know, spoiled wheat and spoiled
wine.
Yeah,
whom?
Arthur Miller.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that was always what we would start the year with, is we'd go into, we'd watch Good Night and Good Luck with, and talk about Edward R. Murrow and what he did for radio, and then we'd say, okay, this is what caused Miller to write this play. We're going to look at what it means to be persecuted with unknown facts in front of you. So,
I've got to take time out for a word here. We'll be right back with our guests. If you have a question,
way or just around the corner, Valvoline Instant Oil Change will help you protect your vehicle's engine with their quality Valvoline products, so you'll arrive safely and on time. Learn more at VIOC.com. Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
We're talking this morning with Audrey Ann Hill, who wrote a book after leaving teaching, a book called Graduation. That's now on sale at Reader's World, I'm sure.
Reader's World and Amazon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Graduation's the name of it. Very simple title, but you graduated from teaching.
I did. I moved on.
Audrey Ann is also a poet, as I've said, and I love the poem about that's simply called Thoughts While Shoveling Snow, which seemed appropriate to today. A lot of people will be out shoveling. That starts, "Snow has grown in my yard overnight." And I love that image, as though it grew up there instead of falling. And do you want to read a little bit more of it?
Sure. "Snow has grown in my yard overnight. A squirrel, awake as early as myself, balances on the telephone wires, chucking and chattering his discontent with the cold as I dance with my shovel across the width of my driveway. I stop, rest my gloved hand on the shaft tip, and look up, seeing him against the gray of this early hour, all the windows in nearby houses still vacant of light. For a moment, I feel his disgruntle. I look down the drive toward the street, glance back at the garage, and note how little I have done. I think of the poet Jane Kenyon and her life on Eagle Pond, and how she and her husband, Donald Hall, used the snow to provide insulation, shoveling it up against the base of the farm. and huddle at their desks near the kerosene heaters to write. Cats would lie on their laps, warming their thighs and purring with contentment. They would listen for the sound of the plow to drive by and look out from frost-framed windows to see their mailbox saved for one more day.
That's beautiful.
And how many people are going to lose their mailboxes today?
My mailbox is set way back from the road, and my trouble is that I have to hire somebody to come and plow in to free the mail carrier getting to the mailbox.
Well, Sarah, you're an ex-teacher, too.
Yes.
So I have two teachers here with us in the studio today.
That's right. I've done many things other than being a teacher. In fact, I worked in Washington, D.C. for 10 years as a writer, editor, and publisher, actually lead editor in a national magazine. And so that's why part of why I got involved in doing books at this time of my life, because I've always loved books. I'm a natural reader. As a child, I used to take my little red wagon down to the local Leland Library up north, which was only open for 3 hours one afternoon a week. And so you had to put into it. That's why I took the wagon. Enough books to read for the whole week. And so I read ceaselessly with the free time I had, and have always loved books. And it's such a delight to work with writers like Audrianne.
Well, you haven't talked about her dogs. I think we should talk about her dogs.
I'm a known known collie lover, and so my first collie was Chloe, that I named after a character in a Robbie Burns poem, and my current collie Tess, who's all throughout this book, is named after Tess of the D'Urbervilles. So, and Tess is quite a personality. When I got her, she was a diva, and now that she's going to be 12, she is a grand dame.
That means her voice is spectacular.
And her attitude has altered.
Instead of seeking your approval, she's telling you
what
to
do. She does it anyway, you bet. Yeah, she does it anyway.
As we come near to the end of your book, you say at one point, "We're all teachers." That line really struck me. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that I remember from the book. How are you still a teacher now?
Well, we're all teachers. We're teachers in the way that we interact with other people and how we present ourselves. And that is a reflection of who we are, of what we believe. We don't have to wear all of our, we don't have to proselytize or do anything. We should reflect what we think and feel. But for me as a teacher, I would say at Reader's World is where I do most of my teaching now when people come in wanting a book. The funny story from last year was this gentleman coming in. He had been married for over 50 years, and he wanted a cookbook that his wife had been talking about, and he didn't know who she was because this woman cooks in her bare feet. And I said, "Oh, so you mean the Barefoot Contessa?" And then, so I took him to the newest book, and he said, "Now, is this a stupid gift?" And I said, "No, it means that you're paying attention to her. You're watching what she's, you know, paying attention to on TV." But I said, "But what I would do before you wrap it up, put little post-it notes on the recipes that you'd like her to attempt to cook."
I see you, Chuck, thinking about giving your wife a cookbook.
Yeah, I love cookbooks. I read them. I don't just use them. I read them. And
well, in certain ways, this book is like a cookbook because it's how you make something out of a year which was an unknown future to you.
Yeah.
What would you do? And you cook up things from month to month, activities and things you're involved in, and the result is the book.
Sure, sure. Well, and it's, you know, for instance, and I know I wrote about Halloween in the book from a year ago, but even this Halloween, it was my night to work at the bookstore. So I did reverse Halloween. There are little kids. We have lots of little kids in our neighborhood. So I put all their little candies in little bags, and then if there was like one particular family, they have four kids, so I put those four kids in a little grocery sack, and I went around and I wrote a note, and I said, I'm going to be at the bookstore, but I didn't want to miss giving you your treats. And so, you know, happy Halloween. And I hung them on the door. And so Tess and I, on our last walk before I went to the bookstore, we dropped off. We did it reverse. Instead of them coming to me, I went to them.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful.
Let me take time out for a word here. We'll be right back with our guests. And if you have a question,
to promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
We're talking to the teachers this morning, two teachers.
Neither and I'm going to ask
teaching as such.
Yes. If one were to carry this book into a live group instead of being here at a microphone, the first thing people would ask you is, well, where can I get that? Look at it, see if I like it, and get it.
Well, right now it's on the front table, right when you walk into Reader's World. There's several copies of it there. And then if you are of a distance or because of weather, you can't get a hold of it, you can order it off of Amazon as well.
Amazon.com,
right.
Online,
mm-hmm.
Right. The famous or infamous, depending on your point
right.
of view.
And I'm sorry, I sell books, so it's not in Kindle form. It won't be an e-book. You need to hold the pages.
Yes, you were very deliberate about that.
Right.
Because I asked you if you wanted it on Kindle. It's possible to do so much online
right.
these days. But I'm like you.
There's
I don't
something
read.
About holding a book.
Yes, there is.
Yep.
And having it be in print and feeling eventually it's like, when you read, you enter that world,
sure.
and your world, which is a native Holland world here, is a wonderful one mm-hmm. to enter. And so part of my reason for doing this program is wanting to invite a larger audience to do what I did, read it all through, mm-hmm. and take it in and see how you made that transition and made it joyfully and in community. Holland is one of the most community-oriented places I have ever lived.
And it's gotten better at it with all the little things that we do throughout the whole year in order to bring people downtown. The farmers market is unbelievable. It's just a wonderful place to live.
And you talk about all those pieces in your book,
mm-hmm.
and not only the things you're doing, but what you take advantage of.
Sure.
So,
now, I talked to a teacher some years ago, but he's an older teacher, and I said, would you like to go back in the class? What, he's in the classroom? He said, no, I wouldn't last a day. He said, I'd be in court.
Can you tell me what you thought he meant by that?
He probably would deck the first kid that gave him any lip.
Oh.
Well, I remember one of my former teachers who became a really good friend of mine after I was in his classroom. I had him for almost everything he taught at West Ottawa. And he said to me, so has teaching changed that much since I retired? And I said, no, I just tap dance a little faster.
Hey, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.